Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Great to be together tonight. We've got some people that are otherwise involved and some folks that aren't feeling real well. And we're thankful for each of you being with us. Anyone who's joining us on Zoom, we welcome you. And look forward to a good time of worship tonight. Let's pray. And let's celebrate Jesus. Father, thanks so much for your great love for us, your kindness, your generosity. You're so good, and we're so appreciative. I pray that we will honor you tonight in our worship, our singing, our prayers, our sharing of the word, every aspect of our being together. And that Holy Spirit, you'll move in our hearts and in our midst. Show us the Father in fresh ways. Change our hearts to be more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's sing. All to Jesus I surrender. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices, great songs. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? Something you're thankful for, something God did that's amazing? Thankful for a groundskeeper that does an awesome job.
All right.
Thank you. Front shrubs have been trimmed. Vine is off the wall.
It's amazing.
Grass looks great. Beds are mulched. A whole lot better job than I ever did.
I'll learn from you.
You learn from me what not to do. Thank you for coming. Bless you and appreciate you.
I'm thankful for vacation and opportunities to reconnect with family members.
Great. I guess Dad and I will have the opportunity to reconnect with family members starting tomorrow evening. My brother and his family are coming to be with us for this week. So we're looking forward to that. I live in Arizona. Yeah. Only get here maybe once a year. So I'm thankful God created the internet and the good things that we can get from it, like how to fix dryers. Our dryer stopped working Thursday late afternoon. And so I looked at a couple things and I called the repair shop. And they said, oh, well, we'll probably get somebody out there in a week. I said, and I can have somebody call you tomorrow. I said, it's going to get my clothes dry. So I watched the tutorial video on how to take it apart. It wasn't hard, it was just complicated. Detailed. This place the screws are, I didn't ever thought to look for screws inside the door. So anyway, don't need to hear all that story. Thankful for God-given ability and intelligence to be able to do those kinds of things, because it's his ability and us. Without him, not able to do a whole bunch. What was it I heard somebody say one time? Without him, we can do, I think it was two words.
No thing.
That's it. No thing. All right, we remember. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions,
settlements,
estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease,
blessing
and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, and I may have more than enough to give to the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Fernando, you pass the basket. Amen. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and he can change your life. Jeremy's been reading my sermon notes again. Anybody want to do a children's story? What?
Stuff.
And the stuff. Do you know what's in it?
No.
Oh dear. Think it's a plant. Something green in it. So if it's green, it's got to be a plant. Couldn't be mine. Oh, it's got leaves. Okay. Well, if it leaves, then shouldn't it be outside? Okay. I like children's books. You like children's books? Do you have a favorite children's author?
No.
I'm sorry,
I don't pay attention.
Exactly. Exactly. When I was a child, I didn't know who wrote the books either, and I still don't know who wrote most of the books. But there's one author I remember. Who do you think that might be? What? Dr. Seuss. Of course, if he's not the most famous children's writer in the world, he's the most famous children's writer in my mind. And Dr. Seuss wrote a lot of children's books, like Horton Hears a Who, and Oh Say Can You Say, and Green Eggs and Ham. You remember Green Eggs and Ham? Sam, I am Sam. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them in a fox with a fox? I would not eat green eggs and ham in a box or with a fox. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham, right? I mean, that's part of it. Well, would you eat green eggs? Would you eat green ham?
No.
Oh. Did you ever taste green eggs or green ham?
Yes.
Every St. Patrick's Day? Okay. Yeah. And did you like it? Well, you know, we often look at things and make decisions about them because of how they look. So I did bring a couple things with me, and they are plants. Do you know what kind of plant this is? Carrots? You think that's carrots? You're right, that's carrots. And Renee, your mother planted those in my garden. Do you like carrots?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody want to taste one of these carrots?
No. They're not clean.
If I peel it, I washed them before I brought them to church.
Oh, yeah.
But if I peel it, you would eat it?
No.
You would eat it if it was peeled? I would too. I would too. Yeah, let me ask you this. You know what that is? Is that a carrot?
No, it's a beetroot.
It's a
beetroot. It's a bug on
it. It's a beetroot. It looks like a beetroot or a red beet. Well, but the top says it's a carrot. And it grew with the carrots, where the carrots were planted. Would you eat a purple carrot?
No, I don't know what it is.
Do I? You don't know what it is. I'm telling you, it's a carrot.
I'll try it.
You would try it.
Yeah, a carrot.
That's pretty good. Well, You know, there are lots of things that we look at and we turn up our nose because of the way it looks. Sometimes we see people walking down the street and we turn up our nose because they're not dressed very nice, or maybe they've got body odor or something else. And we make that decision because of what we see. Maybe the color of their skin is different than ours. Maybe they've got a t-shirt on that has a saying on it that we're offended by. But we look at that outside and we make a decision on whether I want to be a friend of that person or whether I want to be around that person before we get a chance to know that person on the inside and what they're like. And that's a shame, because we miss the opportunity to have a lot of friendships with a lot of wonderful people because we take a look at them and we make a judgment, we make a decision, and we don't look at what's on the inside. Now, I can't know the inside of another person. I can't know your heart. I can't know your motives. I can see what you do, and I can hear what you say, and I can make some determinations from that. But I can't know why you do what you do, why you say what you say. I had a friend one time who said, I've never met anybody I didn't like after I heard their story, meaning after I heard what their life was like when they were growing up and as an adult, maybe if they're an adult. Then I understood why they were the way they were, and it helped me appreciate them. And so we have to get beyond the skin, beyond the outside, to see what something is really like, okay? So let's peel the carrot, the purple carrot. Did you ever see a purple carrot before?
No.
Did you ever see the inside of a purple carrot?
Yeah, no.
Why is it going to be orange? It's purple. Look at that. Doesn't that look like just any other carrot?
Yeah.
And I didn't paint the purple on. That's the way it came out of the ground. And I want you to see that, to understand that we can't make judgments about other people just because of what we see on the outside. We need to learn to know them. And we need to have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus and see what kind of difference he can make in their life. Because Jesus takes purple carrots and yellow carrots and white carrots and all colors, all shapes, all sizes, and he makes them good and sweet and juicy and tender on the inside. And that's what he does with us. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you sent Jesus for every person in the whole world, and that you love every person in the whole world so very, very much that you sent Jesus so that when we come to know him, we can be like him and changed into your likeness. So I pray for these children and each one of us that we will not judge people by how they look or even what they say and do, but we'll learn to know them. We'll learn to see them as you see them and love them as you love them and tell them about our Jesus so that they can be changed. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. I saw that purple carrot a week ago. I don't remember having seen a purple carrot before. And I thought, there's a children's story inside that purple carrot. When I peeled it and saw it was yellow inside, just like every other carrot. Until then, I didn't know what I was going to find when I peeled it. And that's it. We don't know what's inside other people or other things until we peel it. So, Anyway. All right. From Matthew 9:35, some verses following. The harvest is plentiful. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Sounds pretty awesome to me. Now, I think it's interesting. Trying to not be so noisy with the mic. I know I got a quick plan before we're done to be so noisy. Hopefully this is better. Can you hear me? Okay, great. What an awesome time. Jesus is there. He's going through towns and villages, and he's ministering to the sick. But look where he's doing it. He's not doing it in the public places. He's not doing it in the parks or the schools. He's not doing it in the workplace. Says he's in the synagogues. I think my battery just died. Maybe it went off and on. We'll see. Maybe the battery's dying. I'll keep it up here and I can change it if I need to. So in this instance, now we know there's other times in Jesus' ministry that he's in the marketplace, that he's out by the lake, he's on a boat, he's on a mountainside, and he's ministering there. So it isn't that Jesus only went into the synagogues or into the churches. But at this particular time, he's going from synagogue to synagogue, and he's teaching, he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, what's the good news of the kingdom? What kingdom is he talking about? Somebody? Kingdom of heaven. Okay. We refer to the same kingdom as the kingdom of God, right? So what is a kingdom? What makes a kingdom a kingdom? Okay, there has to be a king. Without a king, there wouldn't be a kingdom. It could be a president, or, well, we don't call it that, do we? Okay, what else is involved? Just a king? An area? Okay, there's got to be a land or a designated area that the king is king over, right? What else?
Citizens.
It's got to be people. Okay, so if Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom, he's proclaiming the king, God, and his domain, his area of rulership, and the people over which he rules. Now, there would be one more thing that would be part of making a kingdom a kingdom. There has to be law, doesn't there? There has to be government. There has to be rules. There's got to be some kind of understanding between the king and his citizens, what he expects from them in return for his being their king, and what they expect of him for being their king. We expect from the king to be protected and to be provided for, and the king expects obedience to his rules and loyalty to himself. Okay? We can't be part of a kingdom and be trying to overthrow the kingdom. That doesn't work without us getting into hot water. Jesus said it well. He said, a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. And so there has to be unity in that kingdom. So this is what Jesus was proclaiming. Good news. God's here. He wants to reign and rule. He wants you to be a citizen of his kingdom. And here's what he's offering. Health and peace and joy. Okay, he cured sicknesses and diseases. So that's the good news that Jesus proclaimed. And here's the even better news about Jesus' proclamation. That proclamation continues to today. Jesus is still proclaiming the good news of the kingdom through his word, through the Bible, through us. And the good news is still, God is on the throne. He rules, he reigns. He welcomes you to come under his kingdom, to come into his kingdom, to be a citizen of his kingdom, and to experience his reign and his rule in your life, and to see your life ordered in such a way that it fits his parameters. It's what he wants. And what does he want for us? He wants the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, temperance, faith. Okay. And that's good news. So when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I wonder what that looked like in Jesus' day. What did it look like to see crowds that were harassed and helpless, that they were like sheep without a shepherd? Let me ask it from a different way. And I'm not sure quite how to answer that question exactly, because I don't have all the details of what was going on at the time of Jesus' life and ministry in Palestine. But what if Jesus was walking the earth today and he looked around our country, say, what would he see? Would he see people, crowds of people that he would have compassion on? Yes. You think Jesus ever saw anyone that he did not have compassion on? I don't think so. Have you ever seen someone that you didn't have compassion for? Oh, you don't have to answer that question. I think I know that question, because I know how I would have to answer that question. And I don't think we're all that much different. So if Jesus was here in Pocomoke, standing next to me, or he was behind the pulpit, I was standing next to him, and he'd look out, not just in this room, but beyond this room. Do you think he might see people that were harassed and helpless, that looked like sheep without a shepherd? And what kinds of things do you see that make you think, yes, he would? I mean, I get some news blurbs on my phone from time to time. Maybe you get some too. And I saw one today that a birthday party turned into a bloodbath and 14 people were killed or shot or something. I think it was 14 people. You think that's sheep without a shepherd, helpless and harassed? Yeah, I do too. And we read about shootings in schools and shootings everywhere. What might be some other things that you see that might make you think of sheep without a shepherd? Homelessness? Yeah, that's rampant. We have that in our town.
nursing homes alone?
Hospitals and nursing homes are full, crowded. Some of them have vacancies. Unemployment is high, and yet you see signs everywhere. Now hiring. I'm sorry?
Healthcare workers.
Tired. We're drained. Feeling afraid because of the diseases that COVID, and might be vulnerable. And COVID itself has us all harassed and feeling helpless. I read somewhere recently where an educator said, the words follow the directions is racist. Yeah, I suppose it has to do with that's what you did when you were a slave. If you were a slave, you had to obey the rules. You had to do it. I can't think of how else can anybody help me with that. I'm sorry, I read the book of Judges, and it tells me what happens when everybody does what's right in their own sight. It's the last words of the book of Judges. Everybody did what was right in their own sight. And what happened in those last 2-3 chapters is atrocious. It's horrible. And it shows what happens when the sheep are without shepherds. Well, this is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we can look at what's going on the Mexican border. We can look at what's going on with Haiti. We can look at what's going on politically in the world and economically. And we can go on, and we're helpless and harassed. We fit that category today. Sheep without a shepherd. What kind of a future do sheep have without a shepherd? I'm sorry?
Lion food.
Lion food. Bear feed. Yeah. Two birds. No thing. Put them together. Nothing. Okay? Sheep can't fend for themselves. Sheep can't find food and water for themselves. Sheep will not eat unless they feel safe. And without a shepherd, sheep can't defend themselves. I mean, an author, Christian author, wrote a really interesting book titled Attack Sheep. Yeah, that's like the wrath of the lamb, you know. We laugh at that, right? And then we read it in Revelation. And we think it means that the lamb is going to show up and just wreak havoc on everybody and tear them to bits and send them to hell. Well, sheep without a shepherd don't have a future, because a sheep that is not shorn, that has its wool, if it falls over in a field, it's called cast or cast down. It's laid over on its side, will go onto its back. It's impossible for that sheep to right itself and get back up on its feet. That sheep will lay there and die unless the shepherd is there to roll it over and stand it back up. Sheep without a shepherd is a desperate situation. Okay? And that's what Jesus saw when he saw humanity in his day. I would suggest that if Jesus was here today and he looked at our society, he would see sheep without a shepherd. And shouldn't I see things the way Jesus sees them? What do I see when I look at our society today? I might see an economic or a political turmoil that just seems beyond me, that what can I do? I can't make a difference. I might see a social setting in which it seems so far gone that what can I do that I could make a difference? Well, here's what Jesus saw. And now listen to what he told the disciples. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." What did Jesus see when he saw sheep without a shepherd? He saw the opportunity to become a shepherd. He saw a bountiful harvest. He saw ripe fields ready to be plucked, ready to be brought into the fold, ready to receive the good news of the kingdom. A sheep without a shepherd who finds a shepherd is a sheep that just wound up in hog heaven, sheep heaven. Who are we? Don't we consider ourselves Jesus' disciples? We're followers of Jesus, right? So what would Jesus be saying to us today? He'd be pulling us aside and saying, "Hey, Earl, hey, Jeremy, Nancy, Wendy, Pat, Carla, Jeff, Leroy, Eliza, Anna, Josiah, Isaiah, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." This translation says, "Ask the Lord of the harvest." I like the translation I read it in first. "Pray the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." How many of us can pray and ask God to send harvesters into the harvest field? Is that too hard for us to do? Can we do that? Yeah? I see your heads. I don't see your hands. So I guess that's half-hearted. Huh? All right. Let's do that. Let's all agree that we're going to do what Jesus asked us to do, what he commanded us to do. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send harvesters into the field. And I believe the disciples did what he asked them to do. I believe that from that moment, they began to pray and ask God to send harvesters out into the harvest field. I mean, what kind of disciples would they be if they didn't do what their Lord and Master told them to do? Can you be part of the kingdom and not obey the king? The king has said, "Ask me to send harvesters into the harvest field." My response needs to be, "Yes, Lord, please send harvesters into the harvest field. Lord, the harvest is plentiful. Please send harvesters into the harvest field. These sheep need shepherds. Oh, Lord, harvesters, we need harvesters. Lay it on the hearts of harvesters to go out into the harvest field and bring forth a bountiful harvest that is prepared and ready." So Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. What had Jesus just been doing at the beginning of this? Oops, sorry. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. So what did Jesus do to the disciples? He just gave them authority to do what he's been doing. What you saw me do, that's what you're to do. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Notice that. Judas is part of the 12. None of them are left out. These are the 12. And so what does he do with those 12? These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Now, I like the way another rendition of this story in one of the other Gospels said it in the translation I read the first time. I looked for it just the way I read it in. NIV's changed it. And some of the languages changed. And at the end of one chapter, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send harvesters out into the field. In the next verse, which is the beginning of the next chapter, turn the page, read the next chapter. Jesus called his disciples together. Go! I give you authority. Go! Here he says, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't bring the church back, for crying out loud. It's where you start, not where you end. And this is this time he's told them that. He didn't always tell us that, but this time he did. But the point is, the ones he told to pray and ask the Lord to send out harvesters became the ones he sent to do the harvesting. Something must happen when we pray, when we ask God to have compassion on people who are in need of his kingdom. Something must happen in my heart, in my being, my motivation. I must start to see them as God sees them. I must start to have the compassion that he has. I must start to see that they're sheep without a shepherd. And that the only thing they have to face is death and a Christless eternity. And somehow, that must move my heart. Because whether I see it that way or not, that's the way it is. People that don't know Jesus are on a one-way trip to hell. And if I don't care about that, how can the love of God be in me? I can be ignorant and not be aware of it. But hello, tonight you've just been told, we just read the text. And so now we know. We need to start praying that the Lord of the harvest will send harvesters into the field. Go gather the lost sheep of Israel. You know, when a sheep gets separated from a flock, even when there's a shepherd, it's at the most risk of any time in its life. Because a wolf or a bear or a fox or a lion is going after the stray. It's going after the one by itself. That's defenseless and alone. and doesn't have a flock around it where a shepherd pulls by to protect it. When it's off by itself, that's when it can get caught in a briar bush. That's when it can fall over and not be able to right itself. That's when it can be in a world of hurt and pain and sorrow and sadness. Sheep need a flock. They need other sheep. God created us to need relationship, to be in relationship. He created Adam and he said, it's not good for the man to be alone. So he created Eve. Got it. Okay. We're created to be in relationship with him and with each other. Adam was in relationship with God before Eve was created. But it wasn't enough. He needed other people. We need each other. And we need the people that are out there that don't know the Lord yet, as much as they need us. We may not see it, but that's the way it is. As you go, he said. I love that. As you go. So where do you confront these people? Where do you meet these people? You meet them as you go. You meet them in the workplace. You meet them in the mall. You meet them in Walmart. You meet them at the gas station. You meet them at the car dealership. You meet them when they're selling you real estate. You meet them when they're buying real estate from you. You meet them when you're their nurse or when you're doing their grass or when you're at the school or wherever we are as we go. We keep our eyes and ears open. We listen for the bleating of a lonely, hurting sheep. Ah, that one needs a shepherd. Yeah, and what does that bleeding sound like? Someone that's in pain. Someone that's just been discouraged. Someone who's feeling hopeless. Someone who's feeling helpless. Somebody who has been discriminated against. Somebody who's been ignored or pushed aside. It's been offensive. Somebody that you don't see the love of Christ in. Somebody that's fighting a debilitating illness. Somebody that's in need, homeless. We heard that name before tonight. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Where do you have to go to be part of the kingdom of heaven? Two words become one. Nowhere. It's near. It's here. Okay? So we don't have to change professions. Well, I'm a professional thief. Maybe I need to change professions. So there's exceptions to that statement. But I don't have to be a preacher. I don't have to be a social worker. I don't have to be a person that thinks that everything they're doing is doing good for the world. I don't have to be a nurse or a doctor in the medical field. I can be any of those. But I can also be a school teacher. I can also be a mother. I can be a son or a daughter. It can be a good friend. I don't have to make a lot of change, except I change my heart. I change my motivation. Instead of doing it for me, I do it for him. I do it to please and honor the king. And that's going to change my whole outlook. It's going to change my whole attitude. it's going to change my life. And it may well change some things that I do. I may find now that I enjoy sharing the love of Jesus with other people because I see what a difference it makes in their life. And I don't necessarily mean preaching at them. In fact, don't preach at them. Love them. Do acts of kindness, generosity. And when they ask why, I have a God that's been so good to me even when I failed him. He wants me to be like him. I just want to do something nice for you. What's wrong with you? I'm in love with Jesus. Have you met him? Yeah. The subject can come around. At some point, we have to share our faith. And I taught Sunday school at a church one time. It was a group of, I think there were four men in that class, and they were in their 60s, at least. And they'd grown up in that church since they were children, born into that church. Because that was one of them churches you were born in, married in, or not in. And so we got to talking about evangelism and sharing our faith. And I said, so what do you say to people when you are sharing your faith with them? Oh, we don't talk about our faith. There has to be a time when you're with somebody and they ask you about your faith. Well, we don't say anything. We don't talk about our faith. So what do you, how do you share faith? Well, we live our faith and people see it. Okay, so when they see it and then they ask you, what is it that makes you this way? What do you say to them? Well, we don't talk about our faith. And I said, So how many people come to Jesus because of the way you live your life? Well, in my lifetime, I remember one person that came to this church from outside the community. They're not here anymore. How tragic. Let that never be said of us. There comes a point where we have to have a word of testimony about what's inside of us, what Jesus did for us. It doesn't have to be chapter and verse. It doesn't have to be a sermon. In fact, it's probably better if it isn't. It's the chapter and the verse that Jesus wrote in our hearts. It's the one that says, I was lost, but now I'm found. My life was a mess. I was a worrywart. I was fearful of everything. And then Jesus came into my life, and I had such peace. I can't explain why I have such peace. I don't make any more money than I used to. I still have bills to pay at the end of every month. I still wonder where the money's all going to come from. But I have peace because I know that I'm part of the kingdom of God, and God's going to take care of me. And so far, he's never let me down. It's always provided. I'm still here. I still have a roof over my head. I have a car to drive. I have food to eat. Whatever it is, whatever your testimony is, needs to be true. It needs to be your experience. Wow, I'd like to have that. But you can. Let me introduce you to my Jesus. Remember the song? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Kingdom of heaven has come near. Now here's what he says. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Why did we ever stop doing those things in the church? Because Satan tricked us out of our birthright. We picked up a theology that says, well, that was for then, this is now. Now we have doctors and nurses and medicine. And we don't have to have healing. Now we have psychologists, so we can talk each other out of our demonized situations, or what were once thought of as demons. Now we're civilized and educated, and we know better. Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons until 1900. Right? Isn't that? It doesn't say that. No. It says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when Jesus said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you've received, freely give, he was talking to us. Me. Say it. He was talking to me. So it's time I started stepping out. Anyone else? Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belt, no bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Now, I read all of that rather rapidly. Not to preach on it, but to show you that he was giving them direction on how to witness and what to do in his name for the rest of their lives, for the rest of church history, not just for that time and that moment and that learning experience for the disciples. So when Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out harvesters. And we do it. And he tells us, go. I give you authority. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out the demons. Freely you've received. Freely. How will we respond? Father, you've entrusted us with a great deal. You've entrusted us with the good news of the kingdom. And how grateful we are for the good news of the kingdom, the difference that you make in our lives. Oh, Father, I pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts. We will be able to see as you see. We will see the people around us as being harassed and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And just like you, we will have compassion on them. Not judge them, not be harsh with them, not push them away, but have compassion on them. And to welcome them into the kingdom, just as you welcomed us, by loving them. Just as you loved us, by accepting them, the just assume acceptance. I'm being kind, generous, and merciful to them, just like you are to us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh with your presence. Lord Jesus, baptize us again with your Spirit, that we might have power to be your witnesses in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Come, Holy Spirit. We desperately need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you.